Please, Daniel.
I'm sorry, dear. I just can't help being nervous. Oh, the man wants $100,000. It's every bit of money we have in the bank.
He'll kill you if you don't give it to him, though. He said he would. Oh, give him the money, Daniel. You know what happened to George Morrison.
I won't do it. Oh, I told him I wouldn't do it on the telephone this afternoon. I told him I wouldn't go to the police. But I wouldn't pay him the money either.
Oh, Daniel, Daniel, you did the wrong thing.
Maybe. Maybe that's what's making me nervous.
Oh, my dear.
A killer who whistles. Who just whistles and kills.
You told him you weren't going to call the police.
Yes. I told him I didn't have $100,000, but he laughed as if he knew I had.
Daniel, I won't have you working yourself into a breakdown. I'm going to call the police. Daniel.
Those footsteps. Maybe it's our butler. He could be coming downstairs.
Daniel, that can't be our butler. You know it can't.
It's the killer. It's the whistling killer.
Go away. Go away, you. Don't. Don't. Don't.
No, no.
Oh, you killed him. You murderer. You killed him. Oh.
I tell you, Vance, you've got to do something. This isn't any scientific murder series. There aren't any clues. All we know is that three people were murdered by the whistling killer.
I know, Martin. Believe me, I understand the complications. Undoubtedly, all three victims, Morrissey and Mr. and Mrs. Daniel Stewart, had been threatened and refused to pay.
Why didn't they call me? What good is being a district attorney if people won't call on you for help?
By the same token, what good is being a private investigator if there's nothing to work on?
Vance, I never heard you talk that way.
Well, what else can I do? There isn't a single place for me to begin working. What do we know? Tell me, what do we know?
Well, we know the Stewart's butler heard someone whistle, then shots. He was on the third floor, and by the time he came down to the library, Mr. Stewart was dead, and Mrs. Stewart lived only long enough to say that the killer wanted $100,000.
Where does anybody go from there? What do I do? Investigate the butler?
No, he's been with the Stewarts for years. Absolutely beyond reproach. The butler's out, Vance.
I know he's out, but who's in? What do we do for suspects? How do I find a killer nobody living has ever seen?
I don't know, Vance. All I know is that if there's anyone in the world who can do it, that person is you.
Steady, Dad. Mullins.
Sure, Mike. I've got a statement from the DA on the whistling killer murders.
Give.
District Attorney Markham urges any citizen who was approached by the whistling killer to call him immediately in the interest of law and order, etc., etc., etc. The DA asks we put it in a box on page one.
I'll take it up to the city editor. Nothing more to the statement?
That's it. The usual business about the law being more powerful than any criminal. Police have several leads they're tracking down, you know.
Can do. Maybe the item will give the DA something to work on. I guarantee he doesn't have a thing on that whistling killer right now.
I've been waiting for you. Oh, honey, it's good to see you. Sit down. Here, sit here in your favorite chair. That's it now. Come on now, honey, put your feet up. Right here on the stool. That's better, isn't it? Are you hungry, darling?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm going to fix you something super special. Here, let me open up your collar, huh?
Yeah.
Is that better? Now, you sit right there and don't you move. I know you worked very hard last night. I've been reading all about it in the newspapers. Say, you killed three people already. The whole town's looking for you. Nobody knows who you are, but every cop's on the muscle. Don't that scare you? Don't it make you nervous? Don't... Hey, how do you like that? He's fast asleep, just like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
No, Markham, not a thing.
I know.
This is the most helpless situation I've ever been in.
Nobody's called in after that item I had put in the newspapers either, Vance. Does this mean we'll have to wait for somebody else to be killed before we do something about the Whistling Killer?
I sincerely hope not. The very moment you hear any...
Mr. Vance, I've got to talk to you immediately.
Hello,
please.
Vance.
Please, Mr. Vance.
I'll call you back, Markham. I have a visitor. Goodbye. Well, it's a little late for me to ask you in, my friend, but would you mind closing the door?
Vance, my name is Wilbur Jones. I've received a warning, the Whistling Killer. You've got to do something to help me. I don't dare go to the police. You've got to help me. Somebody has to help me.
Take it easy, please, Mr. Jones. I was just talking to the district attorney. We knew the Whistling Killer would look for another victim. He hasn't been successful in getting any money so far.
He's killed three people, and I'm going to be the fourth unless you do something to prevent it. He warned me against going to the police. He said he'd kill me if I did. I don't dare go near the district attorney. I came to you. You've got to help me.
How much money does he want?
$150,000. Every cent I have in the world. I won't give it to him. I can't. It's taken me years to save it. What right is he to demand I give it to him? Mr. Vance, do something. Please, do something.
When is the killer going to be in touch with you again?
I don't know. He didn't say. He's too smart. He won't take a chance on calling and having the phone call traced. He'll come up to me on the street, maybe, when I'm alone. He'll kill me. He'll kill me, sure, Vance.
I don't think he will, Mr. Jones. Something you've told me has given me the first clue I've had on this case.
Something I have told you?
Yes. I want to telephone the bank where Mr. Stewart kept his money. We know the Whistling Killer asked Stewart for $100,000.
Yes?
If I find out one thing at the bank, I'll have the one thing I need to start work on catching him. And you can bank on that.
Yes, yes. Come in, come in.
Hello, Dan.
Oh, hello, son.
Hi.
Well, come on, sit down. Sit down.
Thanks. But I have no time, Dad. I'll guess what I came in for.
Well, I don't have to guess. How much do you want this time?
$100, Dad.
Oh.
A big night tonight.
But, Jimmy, you're spending a lot of money lately.
Why not? Who taught me to spend money but my ever-loving father?
Well, that's not the point.
All your fault, Dad. You brought me up wrong. Well, $100, Dad?
Now, look here, son. I'm not made of
now,
money.
Now, Pop, listen. How would you like it if James Whitby Jr. went out with $1.30 in his pocket? What would people say? About you?
This is nothing to joke about, Jimmy.
Who's joking? James Whitby Jr., young banking executive, with $1.30 in his kick. Is that funny?
Oh, all right, Jimmy. I'll give you the money this
time. Thanks, Dad. I know you would. Maybe you won't have to keep shelling out like this, Pop. Not much longer, anyhow.
Oh?
If plans I have come through, I won't have to ask you for a dime, ever.
Come on, Markham, give.
Now, Joe.
Our readers want to know what progress the police have made on the Whistling Killer case.
There's nothing I can tell you, Joe, not a thing.
When interviewed in his office, the district attorney asserted that the police are running down several clues and an early arrest is anticipated. Want that?
No, I don't.
Well, then you'd better
Joe, can I tell you something off the record?
Well, it's against my better judgment, but go ahead.
Milo Vance called me on the telephone a little while ago.
Vance?
Yes. He said he had found a connection between Daniel Stewart, the man who was killed with his wife, and another man who shall be nameless, who came to him after being threatened by the Whistling Killer.
Oh, you mean there is a break coming up in this case?
If you don't print that. You know Vance, Joe. You know all he needs is one little opening and he'll crack this thing wide open.
That's right.
Just between you and me, an early arrest is anticipated. At least by me.
Mr. Whitby, you were the head of the Layton Bank for many years, weren't you?
Yes, Vance. Yes, I was. I still have an interest in it. Why do you ask?
You knew Daniel Stewart?
Well, I've met him. He was a client of the bank.
I have a very important question to ask you.
Oh? Well, go ahead, by all means.
Your bank has two branches.
Is that right?
What official of your company would have knowledge of the depositors in both branches?
I don't think I know what you mean.
I guess I haven't been very clear. Let's say that I had $100,000 in your Main Street branch.
Yes?
And a friend of mine had, let's say, $200,000 in your Maple Street branch.
Uh-huh.
How many people would know both figures?
Oh, well, now, let me see. Oh, I imagine none of the tellers would know about both branches.
I know that.
The vice president in charge of accounts would have supervision over both branches, thanks.
And who is he?
My son.
Anyone else, Mr. Whitby?
Now, let me think. There's...
Get down! Oh, down! Whoa.
You get hit, Mr. Whitby?
No, I didn't.
Well, come on!
Let's get after whoever fired those shots.
All right. I'm with you.
We couldn't have gotten very far. We'll get out this door and...
No. Lock
it. Whoever did it was pretty cute. Locked the door from the outside. Mr. Whitby, have you received any communication from the Whistling Killer? Well, have you?
Yes. Yes, I have.
That's what I thought. I'm on the right track, anyhow. Only one thing puzzles me right now.
Well, what is that, Vance?
In all probability, that was the Whistling Killer who fired those shots. But I wonder why he didn't whistle.
Stop it! What are you hitting me for? I didn't say I was going to do it. I only said I might if you didn't treat me. Where are you going? Clip me, will you? What for? What did I do? Nothing, that's what. Well, now I'm really going to give you something to clip me about. Who do you think you are, anyway? You clip me for nothing. Well, you're never going to do that again, I can tell you.
District Attorney Martin speaking.
I've got something to spill to you.
Who is this?
This is a dame who's calling up to do you a great big favor.
Yes?
Malcolm, you're trying to find out who the Whistling Killer is, aren't you?
We most certainly are. Do you know? Who is it?
It's a guy who's going to be awful sorry that he...
He what? Hello? He what? Hello, what's the trouble? Hello, are you still there? Hello? What were you trying to say just a moment ago? I didn't get you.
Wrong.
Hello? Hello? Hello, what's happened? Hello? Hello, are you there?
This is District Attorney Markham. The Whistling murder case concerns the killing by an unknown extortionist of several people, the most recent of whom was shot while talking on the telephone to me. Philo Vance, appealed to for help by a man named Wilbur Jones, uncovered something that sent him to a former banker named James Whitby. And from Whitby, learned that his son, James Jr., knew the exact deposits several of the victims maintained in their bank accounts. He's about to explain the significance of this to me in my office.
It's reasonably simple, Markham. Just before she died, Mrs. Stewart was able to tell her butler that the Whistling Killer had demanded $100,000.
Yes, I know.
That $100,000 represented every cent Stewart had in the bank. Somebody knew that.
Or it was a coincidence.
Well, it might have been, except that the Wilbur Jones who came to me told me that the Whistling Killer had demanded exactly the same amount as he had in the bank. And both Jones and Stewart used the same bank, although different branches.
Oh, I think I'm beginning to understand. And I'm frank to say it's about time I did. We almost had a break on this case, that phone call I got from the girl who was shot. She didn't live long enough to talk.
We'll make our own break, Markham. As you know, James Whitby told me that his son would know how much depositors in both branches of the bank would have in their accounts. But I've uncovered the strangest thing.
Yes?
Yes. I discovered that Mr. Jones is a director of the bank, and that he, too, might very easily have access to the accounts.
You mean the man who came to you for help is a suspect?
Why not? That device has been tried before, pretending to be a victim so that suspicion is removed. I've got to do some more checking. I want to find just how many people would know about the deposits in both bank branches. Then I have a plan to make the Whistling Killer show his hand.
It sounds very interesting if one of the bank employees is the killer.
Mm.
What goes on from here, Vance?
I go on from here, Markham. On to a series of questions with which I won't bore you. The next time you hear from me, I'll have some answers for you.
Yes, sir?
Mr. Jones in.
Who shall I say is calling, please?
James Whitby, Jr.
One moment, please.
Hello, hello. What is it? What is it?
Mr. James Whitby, Jr. to see you, Mr. Jones.
Whitby? No. I won't see him.
Very well, sir.
Wait. Wait just a moment. Maybe I'd better... send him in.
Yes, sir. Through that door, Mr. Whitby.
Thanks. Hello, Jones.
Come in. Now, listen, Whitby. I don't want you to do anything foolish. I want you to listen to me for
just
a minute.
Just hold the phone, Jones. I came to see you, remember?
I know what you came about. But you've got to give me time.
Let's start from the beginning.
Well?
I walked in here for one reason, Jones, because I want you to lay off my father.
What?
That's it. Lay off my dad.
What are you talking about?
He told me a shot was fired at him when he was talking to Philo Vance yesterday.
I know that. The Whistling Killer fired that shot.
Is that what you think?
Yes, and you're the Whistling Killer.
What?
I figured it all out. When I told Vance about the amount of money I was asked for, he figured it was somebody at the bank. You know how much everybody has deposited. You've got to be the killer.
Well, I'll kill you alone or call for help.
That's a good act you're doing.
Like me.
But you have as much opportunity to look at our account as I have. You know the amount each depositor has. But I'll give you a break, Jones. You lay off my father, and I won't tell anybody what I know.
What you know? Just what is it you know?
That you're the Whistling Killer, of course.
Markham speaking.
This is Vance, my friend.
I've been waiting for your call, Vance. Means you've asked all your questions, doesn't it?
It most certainly does. Are there any newspaper men in your office at the moment?
There generally are. A few within call. Why?
I want you to make an announcement to them, Markham. Here's what I want.
Hey, quick question.
Quick question.
What's the matter? You think you're in the whole train?
Shut up. Get lost. Guy can't come home from work and suddenly read his paper without getting into an argument.
Well, just give me a little room to read my paper. It won't be no while.
Okay, so you got room. So shut up. Go ahead, read. Big front page story.
Yeah? What about?
Well, read it yourself. You kept shoving to get yourself room to read.
Somebody's pushing me to the other side. What's on the front page?
First I get shoved around. Now I gotta read to the guy. It's about the Whistling Killer.
Hey!
Yeah, you could say that again. Only this time he didn't kill nobody. This time the papers say he made a date to call on Philo Vance. You ever hear of Philo Vance?
Yeah, sure. Who hasn't? That killer's got some nerve fooling around with Vance.
So he's got some nerve. So what?
When's he going to see Vance?
The paper says a guy called Vance and said he... Uh-oh, sorry. This is my stop. Well, you got room now. Read it from your own paper.
I could use another C-note, Dad.
What?
Yeah. Another $100.
Another $100? Look here, boy. I gave you $100 the other night.
I guess you did, but it's gone. I meant to ask you for it today down at the bank, but you left before I had a chance.
Well, you might as well know this. I'm not giving you any more money, Jimmy.
But, Dad...
I don't have it.
Come on now, Dad. Let's stop with that talk. You've got plenty of dough. You got stocks, bonds...
Don't have any more.
You don't? What happened?
The wrong stocks went up. The wrong ones went down.
Oh, what's the difference? You got plenty of cash. Come on, Pop, $100. That's all I need, $100.
No. And that's definite.
Pop, you wouldn't want me... Who's there?
Philo Vance.
Philo Vance. What does he want here?
Open the door and see. What's the matter, Jim? What are you afraid of?
Nothing. Nothing. I'll open it. Hold it, Vance. I'm on the way. Well?
You're young Whitby.
Well?
That's my son, Vance.
He doesn't seem particularly pleased to see me. How are you, Mr. Whitby?
I'm pretty well, thank you.
Oh, what do you want here, Vance?
I merely want to invite you over to my office, young man.
What for?
To meet the Whistling Killer.
What?
You...
What are you talking about?
Just that. The Whistling Killer is calling on me. Your son won't be alone. Mr. Wilbur Jones will be there, and District Attorney Mark.
Well, you... Well, what do you want with me, huh? I'm not going there. I won't go.
I think you can convince him differently, can't you, Mr. Whitby?
Well...
My office in an hour. Perhaps you ought to bring your son, Mr. Whitby. Just to make sure he gets there, of course.
I tell you, Mr. Markham, I have work to do tonight at the bank.
But
there's
Mr.
no reason
Jones...
for me to be here at Vance's office jeopardizing my life.
He's right.
You can say that again.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, and my apologies to you, Mr. Whitby, and your son. Vance said he'd be here at 8 o'clock. It's only 7:30 now.
Well, look, what's all this business about the Whistling Killer?
Vance believes the killer will keep his word and be here, providing we don't have the building surrounded by police. And we're doing without any policemen for that reason.
Well, I don't think I understand, Mr. Markham.
I can explain it partially, I believe. Mr. Whitby, the Whistling Killer has been in touch with you, demanding money.
Yes, yes, he has. I told that to Vance.
And you, Mr. Jones?
Well, Vance knows that. I told him the killer was after me. What is he trying to do, set me up here in this office to make it easy for him?
I honestly don't know what Vance is trying to do. Mr. Whitby, Jr.?
Well?
No threat from the Whistling Killer to you?
Well, what could he get out of me? Which leads me to ask, what am I doing here?
I'm sure Vance will explain that. He was most anxious to have you. I believe he called on you in person, didn't he?
So?
So I'm quite certain...
Wait, listen. It's the Whistling Killer.
The Whistling Killer? He's coming here.
He's coming here to kill me. Markham, you have a gun. You must have a gun.
No, I don't carry one. Now get down behind Vance's desk.
That's for me. I'm with you.
Come on, Junior. Don't die.
Okay. Dad. Come.
I'm staying here, son. I want to get this over with.
Dad, don't be crazy. He'll kill you. Dad, he'll...
Vance.
What's going on?
I never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life.
When everybody is quite through reprimanding me for pretending to be the Whistling Killer, I'll explain all this.
I should think you would.
Yes.
Thank you very much. This little experiment was very necessary, gentlemen. Definitely necessary.
All right. It was necessary to scare all of us to death. But what did it prove?
What did it prove, Mr. Whitby?
That's what I said.
Nothing very much, except that you are the Whistling Killer.
Well, that is going for a gun.
No, more killing!
Get through my arms, you fool! Let go!
I'm afraid you'd better help the young man, Markham. All right. After which I'm sure you'll see to it that the Whistling Killer talks.
All right. What's the point of my denying it? I'm the Whistling Killer. Although how you knew, how I gave myself away, I'll never know, Vance.
It so happens that I don't know either, Whitby. Vance?
Let's see if I can start from the beginning of this case and bring it right up to date. I'll admit that some of this is pure supposition. But I believe you lost all your money in the stock market. Correct, Mr. Whitby?
It's your story, Vance.
It's correct.
Thank you, Markham. Anyhow, Whitby hit upon the idea of the Whistling Killer, an idea that would cloak his identity. He investigated the bank accounts of his friends, found just how much cash they were worth, and went to work.
There was a girl killed, wasn't there, Vance? How do you explain that?
That, Whitby, was your girlfriend, of course. You two probably had a falling out. Incidentally, when Markham was talking to her on the phone, just as you shot her, he heard your whistle, which was how I could imitate it in my office.
You still haven't told me how you found me.
I will. There are some details to fill in. One of them was the shot that was fired when you and I were together, Whitby. You see, your son knew you were the killer. I'm sure he did. He fired that shot, missing purposely, just to throw me off.
Young Whitby knew about his father?
I think so. He went to see my client, Wilbur Jones, and accused him of being the Whistling Killer, to keep Jones from suspecting Mr. Whitby here. After all, there are only three men who had access to the accounts in both branches of the bank, the two Whitbys and Jones.
As you say, Vance, this is all hypothetical, although it does sound completely logical. But let's get back to your office when you named Whitby here. How would you do that?
When I, impersonating the Whistling Killer, came to the door, Markham, you and young Whitby and Jones were behind my desk. Only Whitby here was in the open, with a much-feared killer closing in. Why would he stay out in the clear?
No reason, Vance.
One reason. Because he knew it wasn't the Whistling Killer at all. It couldn't be. He was the Whistling Killer, so he knew he had nothing to fear. He realized it was a trick.
Oh.
So that's how I gave myself away, huh?
Yes.
You imagined the killer would do just that, didn't you, Vance?
I hoped he would. But we were in the middle of this case before I got the idea for it.
It doesn't matter that you got the idea in the middle, Vance. It only matters that we've reached the end of the Whistling murder case.
Thank you.